All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. Good morning, good morning. Today is June the 14th, 2021, I think, last I checked. Monday, my favorite day of the week, Monday. How are you? How was your weekend? How is your life? Everything holding together okay? I do feel like life is starting to sort of get back to a little bit, and I don't like to say normal. Not sure we were at a great normal prior, but I do feel like we're starting, you know, the masks coming down, and, you know, I personally feel a little bit better. I'm starting to feel a little bit more like myself. Is anybody else out there, you know, feeling the same way? I know my wife, she works at a bank, and they, starting today, they do not have to wear the masks. This is going to be a big deal because, you know, I basically took the mask off a couple weeks ago or whenever they said we could take it off. And, you know, she told me today, she goes, you know, I was a little jealous. And I get that. The masks were wrecking me. So I hope whether you want the mask on or don't, I hope you are comfy and having a good time. I wanted to just kind of pick up where I left off the other day, you know. You know, this morning I have to have a conversation with the person that was part of that situation last week, the drinking and all that nonsense. And now... This is the part of recovery and sobriety that I really don't like, and it's this 5-minute spiel, right? Because I need to call this person, the person's family called me, and they felt that the person was worried that I hate them and that I will not talk to them anymore, and I wrote back, I do not hate them, I'm not mad at them. I've been there. I've done that. I'm familiar with all of it. But it's still a conversation that I have to have. And the reality is I have to give a 5-minute report or 5-minute pitch on recovery and wrap it all up in a 5 to 10 minute conversation when really the conversation is a lifetime of conversation. I can't... You know, you start to pitch it, right? Oh, you know, recovery, this is what it's done for me. And, you know, there's still the two sides, the inside and the outside doors. And it's easy to say, listen, you know, you stop drinking and your life gets better. All that shit's easy, makes sense. It's just how much do I want to talk about the second half, the serenity side of it. And, you know, I was speaking with a person that's associated with this other person, and, you know, I could hear the concern in this person's voice for the person, but having the conversations, learning about, you know, some of the other stuff that's going on, and it would be hard to bring that behavior into a relationship that is now going to try to head towards recovery. So now I'm having a conversation with two different people about this. And it's tough. It is tough all the time knowing that the only reason this conversation is happening is because the person got caught. Right? Oh, let's all jump into action. Let's all get the wheels a-turning. People are now calling me, telling me this and this about these people and this. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, great. Now, I didn't want all this, right? I don't want all this. And so I had to figure it out. How can I be helpful, but at the same time keep my serenity? You know, it's like trying to sell somebody a camper that doesn't camp and giving them 100 reasons why they should buy the camper and putting them into situations that makes it look like they would be great with the camper. But in the end, they're not campers, right? sometimes you move and you end up with a neighbor who's a camper, and then you're like, shit, we should be campers, right? There was a girl that I used to work with, and her husband and family, they love camping. We were a big camping family. And I was a big camping family because my parents packed up a trailer, put us in the car, took us camping. But if it required any work on my part, you know, I wasn't a camper. I was an attendee. And, you know, sometimes you can associate around people, and next thing you know, you think you want to be a camper. And now someone's giving you 100 reasons why to be in a camper. But the end of really the reality is you have no desire to be a camper. And that's the problem with this situation. This person doesn't want to be sober. If they did, we wouldn't be at this point, right? It wouldn't be at this point. This person got caught. This person manipulated, twisted it up, you know, in a sense that it worked for them. But just like every situation, and it just reminds, honestly, it's just me all over again. It's just me all over again. And when I drank after 4 years, this is the person that I became. You know, I would drink, I would get off work, I would drink a bottle of vodka before my wife even got home. And then she would never even know that I'd been drinking. I was drunk and she had no idea. And then my disease decided to tell me, why don't we explain to her how well we've done and let's start incorporating a few beers into our life. I think we're at a good spot. We can do that. So I would drink the vodka and then I would have my 3 beers, right? How many people out there that's dealt with the person that's struggling or been the person struggling where you've the wheeling and fucking dealing, right? I'll just have 3. And then you get a few in you, and you get your 3 in you, and then you start to plead in your case. Look, I feel good. I'm fine, right? All the shit, all of our history, all the past, all of my behavior from the past, forget all that. This time I'm okay. I think I can have a 4th. And the fucked up part is that I'd probably already drinking my bottle of vodka. Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to start drinking beer. And it is just a nightmare. And that's what's going on with this person. So I know I'm a roadie, right? I've been on the front stage and I've worked the back of the stage. I'm a roadie. I've seen it all. And I know what the fuck's going on. And how can I explain to a person and their family that, you know, how can I say, you know, honestly, you really don't want to get sober, really. You're just doing this because you got caught. The family's had it. There is no conversation. And unfortunately, all I can do, and this person's family reached out to me, and I said I would tell them to go to an AA meeting. I would call the AA hotline. And if anybody is struggling out there, I would call the AA hotline. Get a meeting list. Meetings are starting to get back open again. I'm sure a lot of people have had a rough year and a half. I know I have. I haven't had a drink or anything, but I'm going to a meeting tonight. Tonight, I'm getting back to my meeting, my Monday night, 6 o'clock. Told my wife I might have to take my daughter with me, but I'm going to the meeting. I got to get back. And so I know a lot of people are struggling, but I said, listen, call the AA hotline, reach out. Actually, well, what I told them is call the AA hotline. What I probably should have said is have them call the AA hotline. But, you know, then that's the other thing, balancing how much do I want to be involved and how much, you know, if this person really wants to get sober, really they should be doing all the work. But it's all a fucking lie, right? They don't. We do. We want them to get sober. They don't. They're not going to do any work. We're going to do all the work. They're going to act like they love it. They're going to do it. And then in the end, they're going to get drunk again. It's a nightmare. And I'm fucking right in the middle of a nightmare right now. So I told them, call the AA hotline. Find a meeting. I said this person should do a 90 and 90. They should have a temporary sponsor. And that's about all I should have to say. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. I can't fix them. I don't even want to fix them. I don't want to fix them. Do a 90 and 90. And for those of you that don't know what a 90 and 90 is, that means 90 meetings and 90 days consecutively. That doesn't mean 4 here, take a break, 5 here. It's 90 and 90. And honestly, you probably should do like a 120 and 90. You should probably on some days do two meetings in one day. Right? You know, then you get to go and you get to, and I've talked about this in other podcasts. You show up. You follow directions. You shake hands. Good evening. Welcome. You know, grab a seat. There's coffee. There's cookie. Have a seat. Sit down. Shut the fuck up, right? You all of a sudden start becoming accountable to a group. You know, find an AA meeting. Find one that you like. Find one that you don't like. Make it your home group. Right? The problem with all this behavior, all this stuff, is that somebody that this is all the these are all the things that somebody that wants to get sober does. Right? We don't want to get sober. Stop it. Hopefully, we can get enough sobriety in, under our belt and a little bit of reprogramming and some good influences in our life that maybe sobriety starts to look like something that might work for us, but we don't want to get sober. If somebody tells you they do, they're lying. But what's new, right? This person the other day lied straight to my face. They're liars. We're liars. I'm a liar. Get into a meeting. Find yourself a home group. And on top of all that, the cherry on top is get yourself a temporary sponsor. Like Ron M. You know, Ron M. Before I had a chance to fucking even make a decision, Ron M. showed up. Hey, you know, stitches. I had stitches. I was fucking beat up. Clearly, I was on the bottom. Ron in, came in, scooped me up, said, listen, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. I'm like, okay. You know, it doesn't matter really what I want. This is what we're going to do. And I was so beat up and lost that I was like, okay, there's a chance. There was a chance for me. You know, Ron in took, said, I'll meet you here. We're going to go to a meeting tonight. No, well, I actually met him at a meeting because so, I was up in that fifth floor at BB Hospital, and they brought me down. And actually, AA came up to the fifth floor and knocked on came to the ward unit and said, "Is there anybody that would like to go to a meeting?" And I said, "I'll go." And it was just enough. I didn't want to get sober, but I was hiding. I wanted to avoid the conversation, so whatever I was doing, I was in like this weird place. So I'll go, right? And it was important that a temporary sponsor was in my life at that point because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. He says, all right. And, you know, he goes, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll go to another meeting. I said, I'll be here. And all of a sudden, I started to feel like I was part of something. Just that little taste of civility, right? And then when I got out of the hospital, he's like, I'll pick you up. What time? You know, the meeting's at 8. I'll pick you up at 6. 2 hours early, right? It was just like that. I still didn't want to get sober. I still didn't know what I wanted. All I knew is that I was beat up and I was ready and I was willing at that moment. And went to another meeting, got to another meeting, started to meet people. Right? Started to all of a sudden feel like there was a glimmer of hope. Because up until this point, there was no glimmer of hope for me. There was no glimmer of hope. And AA gave me the fucking glimmer. And I got it, and, you know, I would jump right in. And I did. When I got sober, man, I did probably 120 in 90. I had nothing. I had no life. I did have a job. You know, that I did maintain my job. But besides that, I had nothing. I didn't have a girlfriend. I barely had my family left. I had nothing. And I just jumped in feet first into AA. And I did a shitload of meetings. And I basically got reprogrammed. But not a bad reprogramming. Just a reprogramming into what a normal somewhat lifestyle is. Which is, you know, let's not fucking rip people off. Let's not be an asshole. Let's show up. Let's go to meetings. You know, we're part of a group. And I tell you what, that was one of the best times of my life, that first couple years of AA. I mean, we were going to fucking the jail. We were going to the rehabs. We were taking meetings here. We were taking meetings there. I used to carry the pager. I was part of a men's group. We were doing a men's breakfast. I mean, how the fuck can't you be excited about that new change in your lifestyle? I mean, how? I mean, from where I was to there was a huge leap, an amazing leap. I started to get a little feel of it, you know. But I tell you what, that's about when, you know, I always say that there's a distance from that last incident. You know, every day that goes by, it fades a little bit. And then a couple years into it, man, you start thinking, you know, you start getting cocky, right? You start losing your humility. Self starts showing back up. And but besides all that, the point of that all is that there's no conversation that I can have today that's going to fix this situation. I can't sell it. You know, I'm not an AA salesman. I can't sell this shit. I'm not a sobriety salesman. You know, if you don't want to get sober, don't. You know, I'm going to be the person that tells you exactly how I feel. I'm not going to be like family. You know, I'm not going to be like friends. Oh, you got this. You don't have it. You probably. The success rate of getting sober is not very high. As long as I've been sober, my chances, every day that goes by, my chances get worse. Right? Because that's why they say, your only job now is to fucking be here for the next person. It's crazy, but that's your job. Doing that might give you an opportunity to stay sober. But if you just come to a program, get sober, and leave, your chances aren't good, right? You know, and this, I was talking to another person about this same situation, and this guy was telling me he's sober. He only has a few drinks. He's sober. He just has a few drinks, and that's it. I'm like, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't get that confused. That's not being sober, right? I mean, sober is free from all alcohol and drugs. I just got a text. Let me know when's a good time to talk. Great. I don't know. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, right? But in the end, I know that it's sometimes it's just a big waste of time.
Can you live with yourself when you think of what?
is all a bunch of wasted time. Listen, I'm in. I'm down. I'm all about helping. I'm all about, you know, trying. It is, you know, it's a tough battle, you know, especially since I've been there and done that. And yeah, it's so. I think the real one. What I really need to do in this situation, honestly, is nothing. You know, like I think I've already said it. You know, reach out to the AA hotline, find a meeting, you know, everything to get sober at this point really needs to be on the shoulders of the person that's, you know, that's wants to get sober or needs to get sober, because anything else is just falling back into a routine that most addicts are familiar with. And that is, and I've talked about it before, you know, it's the audience. And, you know, this person has an audience and they're doing all the reaching out to me, trying to get me to help, and all, you know, it's like they're not doing any of the work. And when I see this kind of thing where they're not doing much of the work and everybody else is doing all the work, I know that it's really, this person doesn't want to get sober. Because if they did, they'd be doing the work, right? I don't know. Let me do a daily reflections, and then we'll wrap it up for the day. Wrap it up. Let's see. Daily reflections. I bet it says something about this stuff. We'll see. All right, June 14th. When the going gets rough. Yep. Here, just as I figured. Here we go. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 15. When I came to AA, I realized that AA worked wonderfully to help keep me sober, but could it work on real life problems? Not concerned with drinking. I had my doubts. After being sober for more than 2 years, I got my answer. I lost my job, developed physical problems, my diabetic father lost a leg, and someone I loved left me for another. And all of this happened during a 2-week period. Reality crashed in, yet AA was there to support, comfort, and strengthen me. The principles I had learned during my early days of sobriety became a mainstay of my life. For not only did I come through, but I never stopped being able to help newcomers. AA taught me not to be overwhelmed, but rather to accept and understand my life as it unfolded. Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first got sober, it was all about how did I look, you know. How am I looking, guys? Am I looking like I'm getting sober? Or am I playing the role? It was never really I didn't quite understand about all the wonderful things that you learn in AA and how they can be incorporated into your life other than drinking, you know, breakups, all this stuff. You know, it's funny when you're sober, like I am, the people that are around me and eventually start getting sober. It's like, you know, they see the lifestyle, they're like, God, I want that. And there's another person in my life that's just recently gotten sober because she told me the other day, she goes, you inspired me to be sober. And I was like, that's awesome, you know, but she's, you know, to her, that means not drinking. But there was a situation that came up the other day at a restaurant and there was some confusion and some feelings got hurt. And she told me that she will never, ever, ever go back there again. And I'm like, you know, oh, that's a shame, you know. And then a couple of days later, I said, you know, sobriety is more than just not drinking. You know, it's that kind of situation where you just say, hey, you know, you take the high road and you say, listen, maybe they had a bad day. Maybe I came in at the wrong time, whatever it is. We all have our highs and our lows and, you know, we can forgive and move on and try again and start over. And that's, to me, one of the greatest things about sobriety is just that ability to be cool, to be okay, you know. And I go, because you don't want to carry that. Now you got to carry that burden, right? Now you can't go there. Now it's a thing. And I said, you know, AA teaches us that we can let that go. You know, if you don't want to go over there, that's fine. But don't do it because of hate, right? Don't do it because of a resentment. You know, if you just choose, like, you know, it's just not the kind of food I like or whatever it is, then that's fine. But let that be the reason. And she's like, yeah. And she understood. And I think I changed her mind on that, which is good because Nobody needs to carry that shit around. Well, I hope that made sense. If it didn't, I'm sorry. We'll try again another day. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Is it all just wasted time? Can you live with yourself when you think of what you've left behind? The sun will rise again. The earth will turn to sand. Creation's colors, teams of fate.
I thought you'd let it get this far, boy.